Hi friends, welcome to another episode of Media Matters. I'm your host Chantel, and tonight I have a special friend to the show with me, and I can't wait for you guys to hear her story. My season is here and I am so excited. To celebrate, we're hanging with one of our very own, the one and only Lauren, and thanking the sweet baby Jesus up above that her childhood home is not our childhood home or our home period. What in the chilling tale are we talking about? Why, Lauren's haunted history, of course. But before we do, mega shout out to our newest Patreon family member, the one and only Eddie. Eddie and I hang on Instagram together, and he is truly one of the nicest and most positive people I have met. I love stalking his feed because I live vicariously through his food and outing photos. Now he knows my secret. Eddie, thank you so, so much for your friendship and infinite support of the show. I appreciate you and am beyond thrilled you're a part of the family. Welcome to Patreon. Moving right along, super big thanks to everyone that's hanging with me on social media, everyone rating, subscribing, reviewing, emailing, and everything in between. Hang with me on Twitter and Snapchat at Media Matters, on Instagram and Facebook at The Media Matters, on email at themediamatters@gmail.com, on the show's site at themediamatters.com, or in your dreams because you know I just love a good nightmare. Make sure you post a screenshot of you listening to any Media Matters episode on your favorite podcast app. Tag me in your post and I will shout you out like a boss. And don't forget to turn on your notifications and be the first to see new posts from me and the show. Haven't checked out the site yet? It's up and has show notes, the backlog of episodes, with so much more coming very soon. And because so many of you have asked about my favorite things, I now have an Amazon store that you can check out. It has all kinds of goodies that I use on the regular. Check it out at amazon.com/shop/mediamatters, and I'll make sure to link it in the show notes. It was a dark and stormy night, and I curled up and read and read and read all of your ghost stories. They are so much fun to read and receive. You guys have no idea. And just so you know, it is never too late to submit your real life ghost story or stories. Make sure you jot it down, email it to me at themediamatters@gmail.com, or send it via DM on one of the show's social media pages, or hello, just call the show. That's right, you guys. You can leave us a voicemail at 850-203-0118 to be part of the action. For your written ghost stories, I will personally read and reply to your message and contact you to make arrangements for you to tell your real-life ghost story right here on the show. No pressure to be on the show. I am more than happy to read it on your behalf if that is more your jam. It is no pressure, no judgment, just good, clean, scary fun. For your voicemail ghost stories, make sure you call the show at 850-203-0118. Leave your name, the state you're calling from, and let the ghost story roll. These messages will be played on the air, so please make sure you let me know if you would prefer to keep it private. You can also leave a message with a review for the show, show-related questions, stories, and more, so make sure you warm up those dialing fingers, stretch, and start caressing. Want exclusive goodies like bonus episodes, behind-the-scenes chats, and more at your little fingertips? Join our super kick-ass, super exclusive family on Patreon and get immediate access to a lot of fun. Check out the show at patreon.com/themediamatters and join us today and forever. Let your voice be heard. Post your ratings and review of the show anywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts. The couple of minutes it takes to leave a few words or even 5 stars really does make a huge difference. It helps podcasts move up the charts and become more visible for newcomers to see. So if you haven't already done so, please make sure that you leave a rating and or review for your favorite podcast and make sure your faves get seen. Without further ado, let's get down with this week's Can't Resist Crystal, which is the one and only diamond. From Cassandra Eason's The Complete Crystal Handbook, the diamond is the hardest gem and mineral in the entire world, you guys. This delicious gem absorbs thoughts and feelings, so make sure you remain positive while wearing or holding a diamond, as it will amplify positivity. They are traditionally stones of courage, worn next to the skin by Roman soldiers to make them invincible to fear. I need a lot of diamonds draped all over my body. Physically, diamond is a master healer because it's great for healing the mind and body. It is said to amplify the power of other crystals if arranged in a grid or pattern around the body. Emotionally, it creates a sense of radiance and self-value, which is good for anyone who has lost their identity and sense of worth. So you heard it here first, you guys. Drape yourself in diamonds because the universe says so. For more on this magnificent beauty, make sure you check out Cassandra Eason's book, The Complete Crystal Handbook, which I'll make sure I link in the show notes for you. You can also find information on diamonds using any resource that resonates with you. Now then, it's time to close up shop for the season, wish the scary things away that are hiding upstairs, and well, scratch all that, just make a run for the nearest exit. Let's get scared. All right, friends, as promised, I have the one and only Lauren with me tonight. And Lauren has an incredible story. So many experiences, like, they are stacked. And I am so excited. When I read this story, like, it is hands down one of my favorites. So let's have Lauren join us. Lauren, how are you, my friend?
I'm great. Thank you for having me.
Yes, thank you for being on. I know it feels like a lot of pressure, and there are a lot of people that are like, I don't think so. Can you just read my story? Which I'm so happy to do. But when we can have our friends on the show, like, it like rocks my world. It makes me so happy. So I'm super happy you're on. So let's tell our friends about your history, because they don't know who you are. So yeah. We are going to let our friends get to know you. So Lauren sent this incredible story, and it centers around, and correct me if I'm wrong, this story centers around a home that your great-great-grandparents built back in the 1800s. Is that right?
Correct. Yes.
So tell us about this home and the experiences that you've had, because it seems like this started way back when you were a kid.
Oh, yeah.
And this has been going on. So tell us about your experiences, and then let's talk about your family history, because I would love to know if you know if your grandparents had experiences, if there's, you know, anything else, because there's this thing where people believe, oh, it's new construction. There's nothing tied to it, but that's not how it works. And we know that. We know that.
Yeah, that's not a thing.
It's not a thing.
Well, like you said, my great-great-grandparents built it in 1875 up in the beautiful Adirondacks. If you ever get a chance to go there, please visit.
I would love to.
Beautiful.
I would love to.
I mean, it's open. They've opened it for, it's been open, so.
Wow.
My parents were just there this weekend. It was, again, originally owned by my great-great-grandparents, and it's kind of been passed down generation to generation to the children of my great-grandparents and now my grandparents. So my parents are now the owners of the home. And when it was built, they used it as a hotel during World War II, and it was equipped with a hospital wing for any sort of wounded soldiers coming back from war. It also used to, it doesn't anymore, it used to have a widow's walk up on the roof where, unfortunately, widows could utilize it to look out and see if their soldiers were coming home. It's a beautiful house. It's three stories. There's a cupola up at the top that you can see the entire town from. I used to love going up there with my parents, clearly, but by myself was not a thing. And then,
wow. That sounds beautiful.
I love it. There's a huge wraparound porch.
It is like the picturesque, like you hang this picture in your home and that's what you're looking at, is like this. Uh-huh. Beautiful. It sounds like an incredible country home with an enormous wraparound porch. And it was originally built as a home, correct? And then used as a hotel during the war.
Yes. Yep.
Okay.
I think there's the rooms are, the number of rooms in the home, I want to say, is like pretty close to 20, if not over 20, between the rooms on the second and third floor. The upstairs, not very inhabitable.
Do you know why they built the home with 20 rooms? Is it because there was such a large family at the time, or was it because they were trying to look forward into the future and say, you know, we could use this as something else later?
That's actually a really great question that I have never actually thought of myself. I assume that they had plans to use it as a hotel because the way it was built is very intentional. I would have been shocked if somebody had told me otherwise. I don't think the family was that big. I would say, yeah, they most likely had intentions looking towards the future to utilize it as a hotel.
Yeah, that definitely makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
So you and your family start going there when uh-huh. you're little. Like, I mean, your early memories are probably in this home. And when do you remember, what is your earliest memory of an experience that you, even as a little kid, thought, that seems odd?
I don't know that I remember anything that stands out way far back. I almost want to say after my great grandma passed away, and I would have to ask my mom about this one, but I almost remember her telling me about me telling her or asking about my great grandma, because when she a little before she passed away, she was at home in her room because she didn't want to be in the hospital. So she came home to be comfortable. And I would sit on this tiny little wooden stool and try and feed her like sweet tarts or whatever disgusting sugary candy that I had. I was like 3, but that was my favorite thing to do. I would just sit on that little wooden stool next to her bed and share my candy with her. But after she passed away, I almost remember my mom telling me about me asking about her, but not where is she. It was like, where did she go? Like, I had just been speaking to her and she was gone. Like, I was looking around for her, wow. kind of thing. I would have to follow up and ask her about that. I would say, man, as far as, I think the things I start remembering early on are I was probably like I would say 7 or 8 when the like actual heaviness of the house kind of registered with me. There are certain areas of the house that are completely fine, but then there are others that it just feels like there is an entire weight on you. When you're going up the grand staircase, from the very front, you have to access it from the porch, not the side door. And when you are going up those stairs, you can literally feel, have you ever like entered an area of high pressure where it gradually just gets like heavier and heavier as you move into it?
Yes, and I also have experienced what you are talking about right now, where you can feel the energy and the charge in the air. And also, you know, staircases like that, it's yes, I'm very familiar, and that is creepy as hell.
Yes. And it's like, I have always told my, even as a grown adult, I hurry up those stairs. But I've yes. always told myself, like, oh, there's not, you know, there's nothing to fear. You don't have to be scared. I tried to be brave, but like, it's very
yeah,
hard.
The lies we tell ourselves. Yeah.
Yes, real. And now that I am, again, an adult, I'm like, girl, you were right. Oof.
I know. I think the same thing. But I will tell you, like, to this day, I don't like sleeping in the absolute dark. I mean, and it doesn't matter for me because I can see them regardless, but it's still, I feel better. I feel better. I need a little light. And staircases still give me the creeps. Like, it's, yeah, I completely understand.
Yeah, I'm a full-on baby with staircases. I 100% am a weirdo that walks sideways up and down them with my back against the wall so I can see.
No, I have your back. I have your back, Lauren. Don't worry about it. Yeah, I got you. No. No judgment here, I promise you, because I am definitely a baby for sure.
Excellent.
I'm like, nope, you're going to have to work to get this.
Same. Oh, God.
So you're 7 or 8 and you mm-hmm. are now starting to understand that there is this heaviness mm-hmm. that. So in your 7 or 8-year-old mind, are you comparing the feeling at this home to the feeling at your actual home where you live the rest of the year, or how does this start to compute for you?
So I am the second oldest cousin, and my oldest cousin liked to pick on us when we were younger and liked to scare us. So the conversations around ghosts or anything that we would quote unquote deem as scary, I think started becoming like understood and knowledge through my cousin being like, oh, it's a ghost, or oh, it's this, which now thinking back, she probably was correct and probably also knew and was probably trying to like ease some of her own fears, because we all spent so much time in that house. There's no way that others could not have felt or experienced some of the things that we did. But I think when the first time she was like, oh, it's probably because it's a ghost trying to get a rise out of us, I don't remember it actually getting a rise out of me other than being like, oh, that makes sense in my little child brain. And I think that's when I started kind of having that understanding, like, oh, there are ghosts here, 100%. My dad's not so much a believer, but my mom, 100%. I mean, not that you can be a believer, it's a thing.
Right.
But my mom is fully aware. So talking about experiences and ghosts and spirits and all of those things was just something that we talked about growing up and was just like normal conversation.
Right.
I think it was just something that ended up being a connection that I made that made sense.
And that makes sense to me. Yeah, I absolutely understand that. So you're talking about the heaviness on mm-hmm. the stairs and at the top of the stairs.
Mm-hmm.
What was going on and what were your experiences as you start going up the stairs and you get to the top and you feel this weight, and what happens then?
Okay, so as you move up the stairs, you can feel the pressure, but it's not like, oh, it's a pressure change. It's like a very like anxious filled is the word that I was looking for, not filled. It's like an anxious filled pressure. Like there's no reason to be anxious, but I can like feel myself getting very anxious, which then causes me to scurry up the stairs, basically. But when you get upstairs, you are in the hallway for the second floor. And the second floor actually has two hallways. One is the straight hallway that stretches from one end of the house to the other, but then there's also a curved hallway that goes around to the staircase to the third floor and is also connected to the twin rooms, which is a whole other mess. But getting to the top of the stairs, if you turn right, you can go down and you can get to the new section, newer, we call it. It's been a little bit renovated, or you can go left and you're in the hospital wing, or what was used as the hospital wing. So there's like wrought iron beds. Actually, I think I'm almost positive most of the beds in that wing are still the beds that were, I don't think they've been updated.
Oh God.
Oh, there is so much in that house that has been there before any of us going to that house were even thought about being born, and nobody gets.
So never mind that there are like actual energies there, but everything has residual energy, so it's like energy on energy.
Yes. And my grandfather, who was a veteran, also brought so much stuff back from the war, and it's now stored there.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Oh yeah, so even more.
Yeah. It's a great time. A great time. But so like when you get to the top of the stairs, I mean, anywhere you go in that hospital section, as we call it, is like horrific. We tried to fight as much as we could to not have to be forced to sleep in the what we call the twin rooms. And we call them the twin rooms because they're connected. But they also had like multiple twin beds in them. So one, it's the scariest rooms. And two, as children, we would always be forced to like sleep in there all together because there were so many of us cousins. So they were like, let's just, you know, put all the kids down on this side of the house and they can all sleep together and have a great giant slumber party. That was fun for no one.
Oh my gosh. I bet everybody is freaked out.
Yeah, we all ended up sleeping in the same room, sharing beds, not in both rooms. It's horrifying.
Oh my gosh. So with you guys being in the scariest room,
mm-hmm.
and you're all younger, which mm-hmm. there is a lot of research, we'll say. I don't mm-hmm. know what the proper word is right here, because this field is still very, mm-hmm. I'll say this. People have said for many, many years that children are far more susceptible because they're so open. They don't have mm-hmm. everything weighing them down that an adult mm-hmm. does. And by weighing down, I mean they don't have the process of creating this logical explanation or what could have done that. Oh, surely it yep. was just the wind. Someone must have left a window open when, you know, all of the windows are closed and locked. And all of you guys are kids. You're all sleeping in this mm-hmm. room. So all of the energy in this room, all of the energetic beings, and then all of the energy attached to all of the furniture and belongings that are placed in this room, and then all of your energy, all of you guys have this fear, this energetic, you know, this fear that is just kind of vibrating throughout the entire room and throughout mm-hmm. the walls. It's just permeating the house. And then on top of that, you are children who are wide open to all of this. It is like the recipe for the perfect haunting.
Oh, 100%. 100%. There were.
So what are you guys experiencing while you're trying to sleep and while you are asleep?
The earliest memory I have of actual like physical, I guess I would call it physical interaction, but like things that we actually saw and weren't just felt. I think it was my middle sister and I were sitting on one of the beds and it sounded like somebody was walking down the hallway. We froze because at first we were like, we're going to get in trouble. Like we're going to get yelled at because we're still awake. And the doorknob like jiggled a little bit and then nothing. So we sat there for a few minutes, like waiting for whoever was at the door to leave so we could hear them go back down the hallway, and we didn't hear it. So we got up to see if anybody was there, and nobody was there. In the house, I will say, like, the house is very old. If there's a physical person walking anywhere in the house, you can hear them. There's no way you can move through that house without making a noise. It's just so old. The floorboards creak. I don't even know what the type of material is called that, like, lines the wooden hallway. Right. But it's like, it's almost like thin wicker. So like you can almost hear that also crinkling. So we were both kind of like, okay, that's weird. And I remember asking our parents the next day, like, did you come to check on us? Were we being too loud? And they were like, no, what are you talking about? So we were like, okay, that's weird. But I think that ended up opening the floodgate because we would hear, oh God, it'd be super late. Everyone would be sleeping. The adults would also be in their rooms. But we would hear like sounding like people were coming up and down the stairs or walking up and down the hallways. But then we would always get in trouble the next day for being up and out of our beds past our bedtime, gallivanting around the house when it wasn't us, but we sure heard it from underneath our covers where we were hiding from.
Oh yeah. Oh my gosh. So yeah. this happened, was it like one summer this changed and you start to, is this around the same time you're 7 or 8 and you start to feel the difference in the air and the environment and you feel the pressure and you guys are all put to sleep in these twin rooms and you end up sleeping in the same room? Is this all happening at the same time where the doorknob is making noise. You're hearing people walk through the halls.
I want to say, I think I was like very, very early double digits at that point. Okay. I think I was like 11, 12, maybe in that area.
So it's just progressing every time you're there.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow, that is really scary.
Yeah.
So you guys are hearing these things manifest. There are footsteps. There are, you know, actual physical movement of doorknobs and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And are you guys experiencing anything else? Are you experiencing nightmares? Are you experiencing, like, is this stuff starting to seep into your actual sleep?
Yes. So I can't remember any of the nightmares that I had specifically. I know I had them, but I'm very, very good at forgetting things and tuning things out, which is why I don't think I ever saw anything with my actual eyes. But my sister she actually had a recurring dream when we were younger, and she has a recurring dream now, even when she's not at the house, about the house, which is super odd. But the recurring nightmare that she used to have is she would be laying in bed, and it was one of those dreams where you wake up and think you're awake, but you're actually still dreaming because you are like in your room or in your bed that you were in waking life. So she would quote unquote wake up in her dream and look over the edge of her bed, and there would just be like a trail river of blood in between our beds. And it would startle her enough that she would wake up. And she always told us from a very young age, she was very aware that like something bad happened in that room, or like whoever was in that room. And she definitely always insisted that somebody was in that room 100%, or something bad happened to them. Wow. Yeah. And there were nights that she would just like cry when my parents told her she had to sleep in that room, and she would protest, but she would end up having to go anyway.
And that's the twin room?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
I can't even imagine having that kind of detailed recurring dream over and over, and that she's still having it is so creepy.
Yeah. She's had one too, where in the dream she is walking in the curved hallway to get to the stairs on the third floor, and it's like the perfect dusk time. So there's one window right at the end of the curve before the door to one of the bedrooms, and it's right in front of the stairs to get to the third floor. And the sun is perfectly coming in, that it's sending like a nice diagonal flow of light through the window to the floor. And she comes around the corner, and as soon as she hits the light, she looks up, and there is some sort of like, she has said the only word she can use to describe it that's close enough to getting what it is like a demon. But it's the figure is like, has like no skin. Like it looks like it was completely filleted, kind of thing. She can just like see all the inside. And she said it stands at the top of the stairs, and it never says this to her, but she just knows it as being a fact that it can't move into the light. So the only thing saving her is the fact that she's standing in this shaft of light through the window. But in the dream, she looks out the window and can see the sun quickly setting. And when she looks back at this creature, it tells her, no matter where you are, as soon as that sun goes down, you're mine. And it's the same exact dream, and she wakes up every time after that. She never
gets day. That's scary.
Uh-huh.
Oh my gosh.
Which definitely makes us want to go to the third floor more often.
I'm sure you do. You're like, yes, please. I'll sleep up there. Mm-hmm. So what? So do you think this entity is guarding the third floor?
I don't know. So when we were younger, probably when I would have been more like susceptible to feeling it, we went up with adults. We weren't allowed to go to the third floor when we were much younger by ourselves, only because I personally had a lot of younger cousins in tow, so they didn't want anything to happen to them because the third floor is unfinished, so it could be dangerous for small unattended children. But I mean, it's also super heavy up there too, so I mean, honestly, it would not shock me at this point if that was living up there.
Right. Oh my gosh. That is so scary.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, I do not like that. So that's all that's on the third floor? And you guys didn't frequent going up, or well, you went up there with your parents.
Yes, we were as smaller children. I have gone up there a few times since like I stopped going every single summer. Mm-hmm. But even now, I will only go upstairs in the daytime because I know, like, I can feel enough that I'm not by myself up there.
Right. That's it for me.
Yeah. I don't spend a lot of time. I don't spend enough time up there to really get a feel for the level of positive or negative energy that exists up there.
So in your story, you talked about years ago, a girl coming to your home and your grandmother answering. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah.
Because if I remember correctly, it sounds like it's linked to this specific area of the house.
Uh-huh. Yes. And so
it is. Okay.
Yeah. So we actually, as the town grew, my grandparents had a lot of friends that were local and they would like keep an eye on the house. And there were a lot of local children that we had made friends with when we were younger. So it wasn't uncommon to have any children that we were friends with come to the house, even when we weren't there, to ask my grandparents if like we could play or whatever else. Because my grandparents spent the open season of the house there, and it was just the two of them. And one evening, one of the neighborhood girls knocked on the door and asked my grandma she said, "Can the girl come out and play?" And my grandma was like, what little girl? And she was like, "The one on the third floor, she's been waving at me." And my grandma was like, what do you mean? And she was like, "The little girl, she's up there. And after I had sent you the story, I had talked to my parents, and I guess my grandma had gone out to look, and the little girl pointed out where she was waving from. And my grandma was like, no one is here but us two. I think you're mistaken. And sent the little girl away. But there was definitely no one in that house except for my grandma and grandpa at that time. So that kind of freaked my grandma out.
That is not okay.
Nope.
That's not okay. I would have said, you know what? I am not sleeping here tonight. I'm leaving.
Nope. Mm-hmm. Not a fan.
So let's go back to the first floor of the house, because there's some activity that has taken place on the first floor. And in your story, you talk about having taken a film class when you were in high school. Tell us what happened around that film class and you bringing your camera back home.
Mm-hmm. So I was really excited about taking photography. And one of the things, one of our assignments was like, to take pictures of like very interesting things or things that others would not necessarily get a chance to see. And I was like, sweet, our old terrifying house, let me take pictures. So I brought my camera and was just taking, of course, what I thought when I was in high school and my high schooler brain thought was super advanced artsy shots. So I took some of like the parlor room and the front sitting room. And when I got them, well, when I developed them, no matter what I did in the dark room to try and get rid of the apparent dust or smudges, they were not going away because they actually existed on the film. It took me a few tries before I actually like took my film roll to go look at it in depth and was like, oh, this exists in the film. So there were like wisps all over the place in one of the pictures. It was like the bottom left-hand corner, but it was like this green smoke almost that no way was an actual thing that existed within that room when I was taking a picture. And then in the parlor, there were the little, I mean, I guess we would call them dust orbs, but they were like different brightnesses, different sizes. There were a lot of them, and they were having a grand old time in that parlor. I'm trying to have my mom locate the photos. She's been looking for them, but she's a hardcore scrapbook lady, so she has a lot of pictures to go through.
Yeah, I understand that. Mm-hmm. Oh my gosh. So no explanation for that. It could not have been the entire film because it was only on two pictures.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy.
And I took pictures everywhere in the house. Everywhere.
Oh my gosh. Mm-hmm. So you guys are not there year round, or at least when you were younger, you weren't. Mm-hmm. Did anything ever go down when you guys weren't there? Because you said you had friends and neighbors that would watch the property while you weren't there. Was there ever anything reported that was just out of the ordinary?
Yes. So one in relation to the third floor. Again, we had one of our neighbors called my grandparents and were like, hey, are you guys here this weekend? The lights are on. It's kind of weird. And my grandma was like, what do you mean the lights are on? And he was like, well, one of the rooms on the third floor, the lights are on. I can see the silhouettes of people upstairs. So I didn't know if y'all were here doing work or whatever else. And my grandma's like, I mean, no, the house is closed for the winter. Nobody is there. And he was like, oh, there's definitely somebody there. So my grandma called our cousin who lives like 5 minutes down the road, who came to check the house, and he went through the entire house. When he got there, the light wasn't on, but also the light to the third floor, no one goes up there. So all the electricity to the third floor has been shut off. A light can't even turn on. So he called her and was like, No one's here. Everything's off. Everything's still shut off. Even the electricity, had there been access for the third floor to get electricity, we shut everything off when we close it down for the winter. So there's no way that the lights could have even been turned on.
Oh my gosh.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not okay.
Nope.
How did they respond when your family said this and said, no, we're not there and no one is there?
I don't really know. I mean, I'm sure everybody knows that house is haunted. We, as kids, we told everybody that would listen to us because our parents would never believe us. So we decided to take it upon ourselves and spread the word to the townspeople.
FYI guys.
Oh my god, for real though, I'm sure my parents were like, can you stop, please? So annoying.
In all honesty though, I bet it's better for business because there's such a huge following of, you know, people wanting to stay at a haunted anything.
Oh yes, yep, that's a thing. Oh, do people buy haunted dolls too? Who does that?
Yes, I know. No, it's not okay, guys. Don't do it. It gives me the creeps.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. So you don't go there very often anymore. When was the last time you went there?
Trying to think. Probably like 3 or 4 years ago. I don't get to go up, and I used to go up every single summer, multiple times. Not so much anymore. I live in Texas now, so getting there is hard sometimes, or even when I'm in New York, trying to coordinate getting up to the house is a little bit harder than I would like it to be.
Oh my gosh. But, so as an adult, when you go, do you still have experiences, or, you know, the, as an adult when you've gone?
When I've
or
gone,
do you just know like where to stay away from? You're like,
I mean, nope, I'm gonna stay over here. Yeah, there isn't really anywhere to stay away from. I will say as an adult, I'm definitely far more aware constantly that I am not alone. 100%. I don't think that there's ever a time that I'm in that house or have ever been in that house that I haven't felt alone, or that, yeah, that I have felt alone or haven't felt like somebody was in the same room as me, even though I was the only physical being in the room. I'm trying to think of, we've had a couple experiences. One from the house when no one was at the house. Like, we actually got a phone call from the house.
Oh my gosh. What was that experience?
So my grandfather had passed away in December of 2015. And our whole family was having a hard time doing any sort of holiday without him. And Easter had been coming, and I remember my grandma being very worried and just like really sad, like, how are we going to do another holiday without him? You know, this and that. And she was like really sad about it. And the phone started ringing, and my grandma had one of those phones where the caller ID would like speak the name and the number out to you. So it would speak the caller ID name, and then tell you who was calling, and it read out my grandfather's name and then read the number to the house up north. So it's Easter time. The house, we don't open the house usually until like late May. So it's Easter time. The house is completely closed. My grandma ran over to the phone and like picked it up when she heard it was the house calling her, and didn't hear anything on the other line when she picked up, and then heard the click and it hung up. So another instance where she called my cousin and was like, hey, can you please go check on the house? Like, the house just, we just got a phone call here from the house. And the house phone that we have is one of those super chic phones with the cords on them. And the push button dials. So there's no way somebody could have, even if somebody was there, there's no way they could have looked through a caller ID or a call record and chose to call my.
Or it's not a butt dial, or it's nothing like that. Like, you have to purposely set out to hit those numbers to reach someone.
Correct. And
oh, good Lord.
And the issue, I mean, the bigger issue and the scarier issue, sending my cousin over, of course, he checked, no one was there, everything was off. But again, we shut off the electricity, we shut off the internet, and we turn off the phone service. So my grandma.
Oh no.
Yeah, my grandma called the phone company and was like, I just got a call from the house. Can I have a record of like service start and end date? And they were like, how did you get a call from the house that's been off since October when you closed the house? And they were like, I assure you, I have the caller ID here to prove it. But even the phone company could not explain it because the phone had been off.
Oh my God. Lauren, I have like the worst goosebumps right now. That is so creepy. Mm-hmm. Oh gosh. Well, I mean, it's creepy, but then at the same time, it's kind of cool because I just feel like he was listening and was, you know, out of concern for her and the way she was feeling. He reached out and said, I'm with you, you know. And I mean, it was likely his strongest means of communication with her, something that would get her attention. So it is scary on one hand, because you're looking at all of the physical things and you're like, this is turned off, this is turned off, this is turned off. No one is physically there. Mm-hmm. And you have to manually push like all of these numbers on this phone to get to this other person. And what the hell?
I know. We were like, my dad still is like, there has to be a fluke or there has to be an explanation. And my mom's like, yeah. Your dad called. I don't know what to tell you.
From the great beyond.
God, for real. How hard is it to grasp?
Yeah, it's scary. So we have a lot of the same experiences. Mine, you know, just travel with me, I guess. But yeah, I talk about a similar experience with my grandmother calling from the great beyond. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, please stop that. Don't do that again. Because it's just creepy.
Yes.
Oh, God. Yeah, and I don't care how much experience you have or... like how many things you've been through, whatever the case, like anytime stuff like that happens, it still gets you and it makes your skin crawl. And you still like, I mean, I can't speak for everyone, but I know I still sometimes look around and I'm like, could it have been, you know, something else? But the other part of me is like, no, I, you know, could feel a shift in the energy a little while ago. And, you know, then it just starts to do other stuff. So oh my gosh, that is so crazy. So do you know if your family has a history of any kind of intuitive ability, where I mean, and this typically runs like generations, has there been any talk of your mom or your grandmother or anyone having experiences when they were younger? I mean, not exclusive to this home, but just in general.
Not really. All three of my sister, my two sisters and myself, there's three of us. All three of us have been very aware of the like spirits and their existence. Some of us are more, I would say, attuned to it than others, but I think in the same lens, I know I personally, and I would say probably for my other two sisters, we are aware that we could probably experience far more than we allow ourselves to. But I know from a very young age that I decided, like, I don't want any part of seeing or interacting with that.
Right.
So have done a very good job of like kind of closing off anything that might be. And I know my sisters are probably the same way. My mom is also pretty sensitive. But as far as like any sort of intuitive or like very strong experiences or things like that, there hasn't been any like generational or any common themes within our family surrounding that.
Right. Well, it's nice that they listened to you guys when you said no.
God,
they listened to me. They're like, no, you don't have a choice.
Thank God.
Well, that is incredible. I mean, how you guys made it through all that and you're saying on the other side is remarkable, because I think, you know, there are so many people that it would have killed them. They're like, no, I'm not going back, and I can never sleep again, and that's it, I'm done.
I think we had one of our like family friends he's actually a little younger than me, but he had been to the house throughout our childhood, and as we were older, we finally convinced him basically to fess up. We were like, we know there's shit in this house. What is it? Tell us what it is. Stop keeping it a secret. And he finally kind of told us some of the things that we were already kind of aware of and that we knew of. So I think that as an adult has made me feel a little bit better in the house, is just like having more light shed on what was the unknown, but was actually just the known. Wow. So, yeah.
Goodness gracious. Lauren, that is so incredible. I am so incredibly honored that you came on the show and you shared all of this with us. And I super duper hope that you come back on, and not because you have more like recent scary stuff, because that's no one's friend, but maybe you just recall other stuff and you're like, oh, but wait, there's more that I want. Yeah, sure.
Of course. I'm sure there's much more.
Yeah, because I don't want anybody to be afraid. But I really am so grateful that you agreed to come on. I am so happy that I got a chance to meet you, that we got a chance to talk. And I look forward to all of our interactions in email, social media, whatever it is, because you are so much fun. I really enjoyed reading your entire story and all of the craziness that went on at this home. I am definitely going to take you up on going to the Adirondacks and checking out this home, because this is like right up my alley.
I'm telling you,
like, this might be our first investigation.
I am 100% behind this. Yes.
Yes. And maybe we can go together. Maybe you can go, like, we can just arrange to be there together and you can give us the tour and just walk us through. Like, that would be the ultimate. So, I mean, that'll be in the future for sure, but I would love to do that with you.
Yes, 100%. You just let me know.
Well, yes, I definitely will. I will work it out with Marie Rose so we can all hang out together and drape our bodies in crystals and holy water and take the tour.
100%.
Yeah, and we're definitely not sleeping in the twin room or spending too much time in there.
I was just going to say, I can arrange for you to sleep in the twin room.
No, that's okay. That's okay. I super appreciate the offer, Lauren.
Well, there's plenty of rooms. So, like, if you want to sleep in the twin rooms, that could be arranged. I don't suggest it. But
I am going to bring a hammock and sleep outside.
Probably that's safer for everyone. Honestly.
That is what I'll do. Well, Lauren, thank you so much again. I really appreciate it. I cannot wait to hang with you again. And you guys, I hope you enjoyed this episode and enjoyed meeting our friend Lauren. She is fantastic, and hopefully we get to spend even more time with her. Friends, that's our episode with the lovely Lauren. We hope you enjoyed this creepy content as much as we did. Thank you again for joining us for another Can't Miss episode and tuning in week after week. We love you guys so much. Don't forget to hang with me on Twitter and Snapchat at Media Matters and on Instagram and Facebook at The Media Matters, where I show you guys even more love. And make sure you turn on those notifications and be sure to tag me in your Media Matters posts for a very special shout out. Want to shop with me? Find my store at amazon.com/shop/Media Matters and do what I do, shop. Feeling spooky? Send your real life ghost stories to themediamatters@gmail.com via DM on one of the show's social media pages, or leave your ghost story on the show's voicemail at 850-203-0118. And remember, your voicemail will be played on the air, so make sure you tell me in your message if you'd prefer to keep it private. Want the VIP treatment all the live long day? Join our kick-ass Patreon family and be part of the fun. Find us at patreon.com/themediamatters and join us today. Are you liking the show? Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review this and other podcasts you're loving. Your ratings and reviews help support the show and makes it easier for others to find your faves. With that, you guys, it is a wrap. We're back next week with an all-new episode of Media Matters. Same bat time, same bat channel, same awesome October. Until then, may your days be supernatural and extraordinary. Good night, you guys.